Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Dead Man's Hand, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Buy-In. Vegas is a city of illusions. It sells you the dream, neon lights, easy money, a woman on each arm. It makes you believe you can win, that you're one hand away from changing your life. But in the basement of the Red Orchid, beneath the glitz and the lies, there's no illusion. Down here, the only thing that matters is the game, and the men who are willing to kill for it. The air is thick, a mix of cigar smoke, cheap whiskey, and sweat, the kind that clings to desperate men trying to claw their way out of whatever hole they've dug themselves into. The low hum of conversation buzzes around the room, but at the high-stakes table, all I hear is the quiet rustle of cards being shuffled, chips stacking, and the slow, calculated breathing of men who know that losing tonight doesn't just mean going home broke. It means not going home at all. I sit at the table, my fingers wrapped loosely around my glass, swirling the amber liquid inside. I watch the men around me like a wolf in a den of other wolves. There's no prey here, just predators, each waiting for their turn to strike. The dealer, a wiry bastard with a face like a worn-out deck of cards, moves with mechanical precision, dealing each of us our fate with every flick of his wrist. The cards land soft against the green felt, whispering their secrets only to those who know how to listen. I keep my face neutral as I slide my two cards toward me, lifting the corners just enough to peek. King of hearts. King of diamonds. I exhale slow, rolling the whiskey over my tongue, letting the heat settle in my gut. I don't react. Not yet. To my left, Jimmy Slick, Marquez smirks around the toothpick in his mouth. He's a hustler, a con artist in a cheap silk shirt, the kind of guy who could sell you a dream one minute and steal your wallet the next. He thinks he's smarter than he is, and that's what makes him dangerous. Next to him, Tommy DeLucci, one of Salvatore Capelli's guys. He's the muscle, a thug with a knife tucked inside his jacket, and a bad habit of twitching when he's about to lose his temper. His nose has been broken more times than I can count, and his knuckles are scarred from a lifetime of making other people bleed. Across from me, Mike O'Reilly, an Irishman with the kind of calm that makes people nervous. He doesn't say much, doesn't move unless he has to. His game is patience. And patience in this room? That's a weapon. And then there's Salvatore Big Sal Capelli, the man whose name turns men into ghosts. The mob boss of the Capelli crime family. He sits at the head of the table, cigar burning between two thick fingers, his eyes scanning the table like a king watching over his kingdom. He's a mountain in a three-piece suit, his presence alone enough to remind every man in this room that their lives belong to him. 2 weeks ago, his daughter disappeared. Word is she was kidnapped. But no one dares to ask Sal if it's true. No one asks questions when it comes to Capelli business. The dealer waits for the bets to begin. I reach for my stack of chips, running my fingers over the smooth plastic, the weight of my life savings sitting right in front of me. Then I do something that makes the entire room go still. I push every single chip into the center of the table. All in. Silence. Slick lets out a low whistle, leaning back in his chair. Shit, kid. You got balls, I'll give you that. DeLucci's fingers twitch toward his knife. O'Reilly watches me, unreadable. And Sal? Sal doesn't move. Doesn't blink. The cigar between his lips burns slow, the cherry red glow reflecting in his dark, unmoving eyes. The dealer waits. The room waits. Hell, the whole goddamn world waits. Finally, Sal speaks. His voice is deep, steady. The voice of a man who's heard every kind of lie, every kind of bullshit, and is still waiting to be impressed. You got the money to back that up, kid? I lean forward, my smile sharp as a blade. I got something better. A ripple moves through the room. The tension tightens like a noose. Sal tilts his head, considering me now. For the first time, I have his full attention. I reach into my jacket slow, so DeLucci doesn't put a knife in my throat, and pull out a grainy black and white photograph. I toss it onto the table. The entire room leans in. Sal's face doesn't change, but I see it, the shift in his eyes, the flicker of something dangerous and cold. The photo shows a young woman, dark hair, terrified eyes. She's being dragged into a warehouse by two men. The photo was taken last night. I let the silence stretch, let the weight of the moment crush the air out of the room. I sip my whiskey, keeping my voice steady. She's still alive, I say. For now. The glass in Sal's hand cracks. I see it then. The moment he decides whether I live or die. Delucci moves first, fast as lightning, his knife flashing in the dim light. I don't flinch. O'Reilly grabs Delucci's wrist before the blade can reach my throat. Not yet, he says. His voice is calm, measured. But there's something in it, something even Delucci recognizes. Sal takes a slow breath, his fingers flexing against the table. When he speaks again, his voice is so quiet, so lethal, it sends ice through my veins. Where is she? I lean back in my chair, tapping my fingers against my whiskey glass. I'll tell you, I say. But first, I need to win this hand. Chapter 2, The Tell. Every poker game has its moment, the tipping point where the stakes become something far bigger than money, where the cards on the table mean less than the power behind them. I just force that moment. The air in the Red Orchid's basement is suffocating now, thick with unspoken threats and the sweat of men who've killed for far less than what I just did. The photo of Salvatore Capelli's missing daughter still sits on the green felt, staring up at us like a ghost, daring someone to speak. Nobody does. Not right away. I can feel Delucci's rage beside me, a live wire of violence barely restrained. He wants to put that knife in me so bad it's practically humming in his palm. He breathes heavy, nostrils flaring like a bull waiting for the gate to open. Across the table, Slick Marquez stops chewing his toothpick. That's how I know I hit something real. Slick always has some kind of smirk plastered on his greasy face, like the world's one big joke only he gets. Not now. Now he looks like a man watching a car crash in slow motion, knowing he's close enough to get hit by the debris. O'Reilly, ever the stone statue, simply watches. His eyes flick between me and Sal, reading the room the way a snake tastes the air before striking. And Sal. Sal hasn't moved. He hasn't blinked. His fingers tap against the table in an even, unhurried rhythm, a slow, deadly drumbeat that says more than any words ever could. He's thinking, calculating, deciding how this ends. Then, finally, he leans forward. You got about 5 seconds, he says, voice smooth as death itself, to explain why I shouldn't have Delucci here cut you open like a fucking fish. I don't blink. I don't breathe. Because this is the moment. The moment where I either take control of this game, or they take control of me. So I do the only thing that makes sense. I smile, take a slow sip of my whiskey. And then, in a voice so calm it feels like an insult, I say, because Sal, I'm the only guy at this table who knows where she is. The room goes still, like a loaded gun cocked back, waiting for someone to pull the trigger. O'Reilly's fingers twitch. Delucci grits his teeth so hard I hear it. Slick, he starts breathing again. That's how I know I just made things worse. Sal's eyes darken, his fingers still tapping against the table, slow and deliberate. I wonder how many men have died between those beats, how many lives have ended while he decided whether they were worth letting breathe another second. Where is she? He asks again. But this time there's something new in his voice. Desperation. It's slight, just a hairline crack in that unshakable wall he spent his whole life building. But I hear it. I know what it means. I own this game now. I let the silence stretch, let them feel the weight of the moment. Then, I push my entire stack of chips to the center of the table, the plastic clinking together like the countdown of a bomb. All in. The room erupts. Delucci slams his fist against the table, so hard the whiskey glasses jump. Slick lets out a sharp breath, shaking his head like he just watched a man step off a building. O'Reilly. O'Reilly just watches. But Sal. Sal doesn't react at all. Not for a long, terrible moment. Then, slowly, deliberately, he leans back in his chair, takes a long pull of his cigar, and exhales smoke toward the ceiling. And just like that, I know I won. Because I just did something no one else in this room would dare to do. I made Salvatore Capelli play by my rules. He taps his fingers against the table one last time, then slides his chips forward. All in. The dealer doesn't even hesitate. He flips the cards. I don't blink. King of hearts. King of diamonds. Jack of spades. Jack of hearts. Jack of clubs. Full house. Kings over jacks. The best hand I've had in months. but my stomach drops, because across from me, Sal's cards hit the table, and for the first time all night, I see the glint of a real fucking smile on his lips. For aces, the room explodes. Slick lets out a sharp, holy shit. DeLucci starts laughing, a deep, ugly sound that makes my skin crawl. And I just lost. A long moment stretches out, the weight of finality settling over me like dirt on a fresh grave. Sal caps his cigar, crushing it into the ashtray beside him. Then he turns to DeLucci, his smile never fading. Now, he says, voice low, amused. Deadly. Cut his fucking throat. DeLucci lunges. I move first. Faster than thought, my hand is in my jacket. Not for a gun. For something worse. Something that makes every man at the table freeze in place. Because when I pull my hand free, I'm holding a grenade. The pin still in place, my thumb resting lightly against the metal. And suddenly, nobody is laughing anymore. Chapter 3, The Bluff. A man's life is measured in seconds when he's staring down death. 1 second to realize you're fucked. 2 seconds to wonder if there's a way out. 3 seconds to act, because if you wait for 4, you're already dead. I'm at second 3. DeLucci's knife is inches from my throat, frozen midair. His breath is ragged, his fingers tight around the handle, muscles locked in place like a spring ready to snap. But his eyes are stuck on the grenade in my hand. And I don't blame him. It's an old thing, dented and worn, but very fucking real. And I'm holding it like it's the only goddamn thing keeping me alive. I don't move. Nobody moves. For the first time since I sat down at this table, I own the room. Salvatore Capelli doesn't flinch, doesn't reach for a gun, doesn't even glance at his men. He just exhales, slow and controlled, tapping his thick fingers against the table as he studies me. I can't tell if he's impressed or pissed. Probably both. You got balls, kid, he mutters, reaching for his glass of whiskey. He swirls it once before taking a slow sip, like we aren't all one twitch away from becoming fucking meat paste. DeLucci grits his teeth. Boss, let me handle this. Sal holds up a single hand. And just like that, DeLucci stops breathing. The power Sal has over his men isn't just about fear. It's complete fucking control. My chest is tight, my pulse hammering so hard it feels like my ribs might crack under the pressure. But my face? It's a mask. Because if I break, even for a second, I'm a dead man. Slick lets out a sharp breath, shaking his head. Jesus Christ, man. You are either the smartest bastard in the room, or the dumbest. I flash him a grin, even though my insides are screaming. That's usually how it goes. O'Reilly leans back in his chair, his gaze sharp and unreadable. If I didn't know better, I'd say he almost looked amused. Sal sets his glass down. The click of crystal against wood is deafening. All right, he says, voice steady, deliberate. Lethal. You want to walk out of here? You tell me where my daughter is. Right now. I don't blink. I shake my head. Sal's fingers stop tapping. DeLucci snaps. His knife hand jerks forward, but he hesitates. Just for a second. Just long enough for me to lift the grenade higher. Just enough for him to realize how close he is to dying. I smirk, cocking my head. Bad call, Tommy. I mean, you might get the knife in me. But then what? My hand spasms, grenade slips, and I make a low, echoing clicking sound with my tongue. Boom. DeLucci's face twists in rage, but he doesn't move. His nostrils flare, his knuckles white around the handle. I should cut your fucking throat. Yeah, and I should have been an astronaut, I mutter. But here we are. Sal leans forward, the air shifts. Everything shifts. You think I won't let you walk out of here just to chase you down later? I laugh, short and sharp. Oh, I know you will. But see, Sal, that's the beauty of it. You need me. I hold the only goddamn card that matters in this game. Silence. Then Sal smiles. It's a slow thing, creeping across his face like a shadow. You got a real bad habit of gambling with your life, kid. I grin. Ain't it exciting? Sal exhales through his nose, but I see it. The decision. The moment he knows he has to play my game. He lifts his hand. DeLucci stiffens. Sal doesn't even look at him when he speaks. Let him go. DeLucci snaps his head toward Sal. Boss, you can't. I said let him go. The weight in the room shifts again. DeLucci's jaw tenses, but he doesn't argue. Because nobody argues with Salvatore Capelli and lives. I take a slow breath, feeling the first sliver of victory settle in my ribs. I just did the impossible. I just beat Salvatore Capelli in his own fucking den. But I know better than to celebrate. Because if there's one thing I know about Vegas, The house always gets even. I stand up slow, my grip still firm on the grenade. I take a step toward the exit. Then another. DeLucci's eyes burn into me. O'Reilly? Still watching. Still unreadable. Slick just leans back, shaking his head like he just watched a miracle happen. But Sal. Sal hasn't taken his eyes off me once. And that's what scares me most. I reach the door. Pause. Turn back. And smile. Warehouse on 9th and Monroe, I say. Sal doesn't react. But something in his gaze sharpens. She's still alive, I continue, my voice smooth, confident. Clock's ticking, Sal. You might want to hurry. Sal nods once. I'll be seeing you, kid. I don't doubt it. Then, without another word, I step out of the basement, into the neon-lit city, into the unknown, and I run. 3 blocks later, I know I fucked up, because there is no warehouse on 9th and Monroe. I lied. And now? Now I gotta get the hell out of Vegas before Sal Capelli figures it out. Because the second he does, I'm already dead. Chapter 4, The Chase. Vegas is a city of predators, but right now, I'm the prey. My lungs burn, my legs scream, but I don't stop running. The moment I stepped out of the Red Orchid, I knew time was against me. Sal Capelli isn't a man who waits. The second he figures out I fed him a lie, he'll unleash hell on this city to find me. And when he does, I'm as good as dead. I weave through back alleys, my mind racing just as fast as my feet. I need a plan. A way out. I can't just disappear. Not in Vegas. The city breathes for the men who own it, and Sal owns more of it than anyone. My car's parked 6 blocks west, near an old strip club called the Velvet Room. If I can make it there, I have a chance. I don't stop moving. Then I hear it. The screech of tires. The slamming of car doors. And the worst fucking sound in the world, DeLucci's voice. Find that motherfucker. Shit. I cut down an alley, my boots skidding on loose gravel. My pulse pounds against my skull as I force my legs to move faster, lungs screaming for air. I dodge a dumpster, leap over a pile of broken crates, and push forward. The sound of footsteps closes in behind me. They're fast. Too fast. I risk a glance over my shoulder. DeLucci. O'Reilly. And 2 other guys I don't recognize. All armed. All hunting me. I don't have a choice. I need to lose them. I swerve left, vaulting over a chain-link fence just as a bullet whizzes past my ear. Crack. It slams into the metal, sparks flying. Fuck. I hiss, ducking low as I land hard on the other side. My knee barks in protest, but I don't stop. DeLucci's voice follows me like a curse. You can't fucking run forever, asshole. Maybe not. But I can run long enough. I cut across an empty parking lot, past rows of rusted-out cars. There's an old warehouse ahead, its windows shattered, its walls tagged with graffiti. It's my only shot. I sprint toward it, shove open the heavy steel door, and slip inside. The darkness swallows me whole. I press my back against the wall, breathing hard. My heartbeat is so loud it drowns out everything else. I force myself to listen, to focus. Footsteps. Getting closer. I inch forward, keeping low. The warehouse is a graveyard of abandoned machinery, rusted beams, and broken-down conveyor belts. I move like a ghost, staying in the shadows. If I can just. A bullet rips through the air. Bang. It shatters a window behind me, glass raining down. They know I'm here. I duck low, crawling behind an old metal shelving unit. My fingers find a rusty pipe, cold and solid. Not much of a weapon, but better than nothing. A shadow moves near the entrance. O'Reilly. Gun drawn. He steps forward, slow, precise, like a man who's done this 100 times before. You made a bad call, kid, he mutters. I stay silent, watching. Waiting. Another shadow joins him. DeLucci. He grips his gun tight, his face twisted in rage. You want to play fucking games? Fine. We'll drag your corpse back to Sal in pieces. I tighten my grip on the pipe. Then a third shadow moves. Not one of theirs. Slick. And something about his body language is different. O'Reilly notices it too. The hell you doing? Slick's fingers twitch. His eyes flick toward me. And then, he moves. Fast. His gun snaps up. But not at me. At DeLucci. Bang. 1 shot. DeLucci staggers back, clutching his shoulder. The world explodes. O'Reilly spins, firing. I lunge. The pipe crashes against O'Reilly's wrist, the gun clattering to the ground. I don't hesitate. I swing again, catching him in the ribs. He grunts, stumbling. Slick fires another shot, forcing the fourth guy to dive for cover. DeLucci is screaming, blood pooling between his fingers. I don't stick around. I run. Slick is right behind me. We burst out of the warehouse, into the cold night air. I don't look back. I don't check to see if O'Reilly is still moving. I just run. My car is 2 blocks away. Slick is breathing hard beside me. What the fuck was that? I snap. Figured you owed me for letting you win that hand, he says, grinning despite the chaos. You didn't let me win shit, I mutter. He laughs. Maybe not. The roar of an engine makes my stomach drop. A black SUV skids onto the street ahead. The driver? Salvatore Capelli. And the look on his face? I just ran out of time. Chapter 5, Dead Man's Hand. Vegas is loud. It hums, it screams, it never fucking sleeps. But right now it's silent. Because when you're staring death in the face, the world slows down. And that's exactly where I am. Salvatore Capelli sits behind the wheel of a black SUV, engine growling like a beast ready to tear me apart. His eyes, dark and full of murder, lock onto mine through the windshield. The door swings open. He steps out. Slow. Deliberate. Dangerous. Behind him, the rest of his men spill onto the street. O'Reilly, still breathing, his face twisted with pain. DeLucci, clutching his wounded shoulder, his free hand gripping a gun so tight his knuckles go white. And more. A fucking army. Half the Capelli crew, armed and angry. I'm out of time. Slick and I stand in the middle of the road, both breathing hard. My car is 20 feet away. But I might as well be looking at the moon. Because I know the truth. I don't walk away from this. Not unless I do something crazy. Sal adjusts his suit jacket, exhales slow. The streetlights cast long shadows, stretching his frame like the fucking Grim Reaper. You lied to me. His voice is calm. Too calm. I swallow, flexing my fingers at my sides. Technically, I bluffed. Sal doesn't smile. Slick takes a step back. I don't like where this is going. I glance at him. Then run. Slick's lips part, like he might say something, but then Sal moves. Fast. Too fast. His gun snaps up. Bang. Pain. A fire erupts in my shoulder, sending me spinning back onto the pavement. The sky tilts, the world twists, and the only thing I can hear is my own heartbeat hammering in my ears. Slick shouts something. More gunfire. I force myself up, gritting my teeth through the pain. My vision swims, blood soaking my shirt, but I can't stop now. Not yet. Sal walks toward me, slow and sure, gun still raised. You know what I admire, kid? He muses. I spit blood onto the pavement, blinking sweat from my eyes. My good looks. Sal's jaw tightens. No. Your nerve. I hear movement behind him. O'Reilly limping. DeLucci snarling. The other men closing in. I glance at Slick. He's still standing. Still breathing. But barely. He's got his gun up, but it won't make a difference. We're dead men. Sal stops a few feet away, the barrel of his gun aimed right at my head. And then, I laugh. Sal frowns. Something funny? I grin through the pain. Yeah, you should have shot me in the other shoulder. His eyes narrow. Why's that? Click. I pull the pin on the grenade in my pocket. Everything stops. For one brief second, the entire world holds its breath. Sal's gaze flicks to my hand. His face hardens. DeLucci swears. Slick just mutters, oh fuck me. The grenade is real. And I'm holding it loose in my bloody fingers. Sal watches me carefully. He's smart enough to know the difference between a bluff and a final hand. This your play, kid? He asks, voice steady. I give him a bloody grin. Ain't much of a play. More of an insurance policy. Silence. The wind kicks up the dust. Streetlights flicker. Vegas hums in the distance, unaware that a mob war is about to end right here, right now. Sal exhales, lowering his gun just slightly. You drop that, he says, and we all go. I nod. That's the point. His jaw tightens. DeLucci looks like he wants to rip my throat out. O'Reilly, for once, looks genuinely unsure. Slick. He just shakes his head. Sal tilts his head, studying me. You don't seem like the type to go out in a blaze of glory. I lick the blood from my lips. You don't seem like the type to negotiate. He smiles. Fair point. More silence. And then, Sal makes a choice. You walk away, he says. You leave Vegas. For good. I don't blink. And if I don't? Sal shrugs. Then I kill your friend first. Make you watch. Then I kill you. Slowly. I look at Slick. He's watching me, waiting. The grenade feels heavy in my hand. Sal doesn't flinch. You got 10 seconds, kid. I breathe. In. Out. Vegas hums. I make a choice. I slide my finger back through the pin and reset it. The room exhales. Sal nods once. This is the only favor you get, kid. I believe him. I drop the grenade onto the pavement, wiping my bloody hand on my jeans. Guess I'll be seeing you, Sal. Sal steps back. No. You won't. I don't argue. I just grab Slick, pull him to his feet, and walk away. 1 block. 2 blocks. 3. Then I run. 3 days later. I sit in a quiet bar in Mexico, nursing a whiskey. Slick is gone. He took off to God knows where, but I don't blame him. We had our run. And now I'm just another ghost. My fake passport sits in my pocket. New name. New life. But as I swirl my drink, I feel it. A shadow. Someone watching me. I glance up. And there, sitting across the table, grinning like a devil. Slick. Holding a gun. And a single playing card. Aces and eights. The dead man's hand. He taps the card against the table, smirking. Sal always said no one gets away clean. I exhale, finishing my drink. Yeah. I mutter. Guess we'll see. Bang. Darkness. The end.